Oh, no, we're on the radio. It's 10:05. I'm Andrew Collins on Six Music and...
Hello, I'm Richard Herring.
He's Richard Herring, and we are John Richardson. We're half of John Richardson. It's like a pantomime John Richardson. But who's the front half and who's the back half?
You're definitely the back half.
No, I'm definitely the front half, because I've got my hands on the knobs here, so I can make you go away. So, yeah, we
don't
are...
Don't start that so early. Don't give me an opportunity so early to get us taken directly off the air.
I know, but this could be the end of a brief run on Six Music for myself. But Richard Herring and I were last on Six Music together more than 2 years ago.
Oh.
So much has changed, hasn't it, round here?
Yeah.
No, it's the same. All the people are the same. It's exactly the same, except obviously the rules are much
tighter.
We're
not here, though, are we? That's what's different. Well, we are now.
We are now.
Generally
yeah.
not. So,
we'll be delighted for you to get involved with the programme today.
Use.
Did I say use?
I think so.
Oh, I'm so Liverpudlian. get involved with our special Liverpudlian show here today between now and 1 o'clock. We'll be requiring the things that John Richardson usually requires, which is your good deeds. We'd like you to tell us about your good deeds. Have you done any good deeds or bad deeds this week,
I've done
Richard?
Bad deeds. I think we should get people to tell bad deeds as well, shouldn't we,
yeah.
this week, just to have a bit of a change. My bad deed this week was I was very tired on Tuesday night coming back from a gig, and I was looking, I had to do this long walk to the station, decided to get a taxi. And there were loads of taxis, but the taxi I hailed kind of came in slightly reluctantly. He had his light on.
Right.
And I said, can I go to Shepherd's Bush, please? He said, oh, no, I can't really go to Shepherd's Bush. I said, well, your light... I pointed at his light, said, your light's on, you have to do it. And he said, really, there's loads of cabs, please, just let me, you know, let me go.
Please don't make
he
me
didn't,
take
he wasn't,
you.
He wasn't quite... He actually wasn't like that. And he didn't say please, but then, right. but then he went off. And I, as he was going off, I made a big gesture of writing down his number of his cab on my hand as if I was going to ring up. So just to make him have a nasty night of worrying he was going to get complained about, which was a horrible thing to do.
It was, yeah.
Because there was cabs just coming all up the street as well. So that was my bad deed. I apologise to that cab driver.
Well,
I didn't report him.
No, that's good. It was a gesture just designed to unnerve and unsettle him,
yeah.
which is totally unnecessary.
Yeah, it was
he
horrible.
He was just doing his job,
it was
after all.
A horrible
yeah.
thing. Well, he wasn't doing his job. They have to take you.
Yes, that's true. They do have to take you a certain distance.
They do. They have to. That was. I was only in central London. He by law, he had to take me. He didn't take me.
He didn't take
I
you.
Will. I've got his number on my hand still somewhere.
So, if you did any bad deeds, then tell Richard, and Richard will absolve you of all your guilt by just achieving closure on this program. You can do that. So, use John Richardson's email address, which is John Richardson. .sixmusic@bbc.co.uk or text us on
64046.
See, listen
good
to
job
us.
I wrote it down, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is like it's like two DJs working together. Richard and I in real life talk over each other all the time. So every time we don't talk over each other
is a good thing.
It's a good thing. How about that?
But maybe if you just point at me every time you want me to speak like you're doing at the moment,
that's
then
what,
we'll never
in
talk
in real life. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, we'll do a lot of pointing. Do join us. You could probably look at us on the webcam. Didn't do that last week in the show.
Where
the webcam's on. So you can look at us and see who looks the most like Jesus out of me and Richard Herring. So let's do the thing that John always does.
Sunday Smiley Songs. On Six Music.
Yes, a comedy song. Although this week's comedy song is comedy in the way that comedy was in about 1980, when we all thought we were going to die in a nuclear war.
Yeah.
So, you should introduce it, Richard. We both like this era of comedy,
it's,
I know.
It's from Not 9 O'Clock News, which I had this album, and I learnt off by heart, so I can probably sing this for you if it breaks down. it's called Confrontation Song on the computer, but I'm sure it's called All Out Super Confrontation.
Yes, it was. There's a line in it about Tito's funeral. Tito was the president of Yugoslavia.
That's correct.
Now known as the former Yugoslavia, let's contextualise it, Richard.
We're allowed to put it on. You're not allowed to swear, but you're allowed to talk about killing all the world leaders.
Yes.
So it's quite a revolutionary radio station we have here.
It is.
It's interesting what's allowed and what isn't allowed. Murder is fine.
Yeah. Suggesting murder. Mel Smith is singing this. We're now think of Mel as a kind of sort of bucolic middle-aged man, but he was a punk rocker then, wasn't he?
Well,
the best we had anyway in comedy.
There's a thing we always talk about, me and Stuart Lee, which was the Mel Smith punk, which is like a very out of touch man's idea of what a punk rocker would look like, wearing a kind of stupid
Mohican
yeah. hair and wig.
Just
I'm
point at
well.
Me. Point
I'm
at me
well.
If you want me to fill in any words. Let's hear it. It's quite short, but hey, so would nuclear war be.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Captain Wang and...
That's the start of the next song.
Captain Wang and
Captain
his crew.
Captain Wang, is
that's allowed
no,
as well. Toss
fine.
Is allowed. Diarrhea is allowed. I'm getting the vocabulary that is... I'm going to make a sentence out of all those words.
That was not the 9 o'clock news, sung by Mel Smith. I would imagine, I'm not checking it here, that Phil Pope probably wrote that. He wrote all the comedy songs, didn't he?
Well, that is a big guess there.
Well, all right.
Probably wrong. Phil Pope, I think, that was a bit earlier than Phil Pope. I would guess.
Right.
So I may be wrong.
That you could tell it was a comedy song because there were some people laughing in the middle of it.
They'd recorded it off the television.
The olden days. They recorded it off the television.
They hadn't even taken a separate feed.
So that was not an Icon News, which was sort of pre-alternative comedy, I suppose, post-Monty Python, for people of a certain age, very important, I think, for both of us, yeah. Very important programme. Incredibly controversial and hard-hitting satirical programme.
And if you find a copy of that LP in your attic, don't worry, it's not worth anything.
No. You can only get it on vinyl, though. I don't think it ever came out on CD. So that will get you in a comedy mood, hopefully, for the next couple of hours. And also, I personally was going to ask you if you have any interesting polite euphemisms to share. But Richard thinks I've thought of all of them. So if that's true, I'm thinking of phrases like going to see a man about a dog. Don't have to say what that means. I think we all know what that means. Don't say what it really means.
Going to a pet shop.
Yeah. Something disagreed with me, which means it. Diarrhea, you've already said it. But it's much nicer to say something disagreed with me. That's a very kind of English idea, that you and some food disagree with each other and agreed to disagree. There's also, you say you've got a problem downstairs, which doesn't mean you've got a problem with the servants. But, you know, we all know what these things mean. So either can you prove Richard wrong and say there are some more that I haven't thought of?
Does this one count? This is a bit, I have to tell you what it is because you won't know what it is. If someone...
That doesn't count, then.
If someone lets off...
Oh, I see, yes.
The actor Kevin Eldon used to sing, "Alan, we're all out on the patio." That's what he used to do.
That's perfect. So there's four now we've given you. Alan, we're all out on the patio. There's something about Manchester United playing at home, but I can't remember what that means. Anyway, do join in. 64046 on the text.
Nothing too rude.
Oh, absolutely nothing rude. We can't say anything rude. And won't be. The idea is, it's things that might be rude in polite society that you can say these words that cover up.
I'll ask you one after, because I'm not sure if this is too rude or not. I'll ask you in the record.
So ironically, this record is called Ooh Wee. You're listening to Six Music on a Sunday morning. That was The Big Pink and Stop the World. Before that, we heard Mark Ronson and Ooh Wee. I'm Andrew Collins.
I'm Rich Terring.
So you have to point at me when you finish. Oh, and we're filling in for John Richardson here on Six Music today as possibly a one-off, once-in-a-lifetime offer.
If we do it really well, they're going to not have John Richardson won't be back here next week. That's what I told. I was with him last week in Switzerland. I told him this is it. Once we've been on, they won't be ringing him up again.
They'll be changing the locks, taking his name off his pigeonhole, and putting our name. Well, we could put our names on his pigeonhole.
Let's do that.
That sounds like a euphemism. Putting our name on your pigeonhole. Perhaps you should explain why you were with John Richardson last Sunday, Richard.
We were doing some gigs. We did four gigs in Switzerland on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which was why he wasn't here last week.
Yep.
And you were.
I was.
And why I wasn't here last week because I was with him. So it's a kind of odd little thing where we did a double header of gigs. And,
so everything is a euphemism. If ever you mention the word euphemism, you don't even mean to do one.
And, so we were travelling around Switzerland together.
I would imagine that genial John Richardson is a nice travelling companion.
It was nice to have him there, I have to say. I like him. He's wise beyond his years. If you forget, he's only like 26 years old. I'm 41.
Yeah.
But he's a charming man.
You're old enough to be his dad.
I am.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. If you,
if I was that guy, didn't turn out to be the father of the child.
I know. I've read the tabloids. You are old enough to be his dad.
I'm not his dad, though. No, I should point that out.
No, obviously not.
Because he sounds like he has a very nice mum. He loves his mum.
Yeah.
And he buys a shot glass everywhere he goes.
This is an interesting fact. I can't believe John hasn't shared this with his audience already.
He might not. This is, you know, delving into his personal life. But then he can get me back, I'm sure, in many ways next week. But, from every foreign place he goes, he brings back a shot glass from the airport.
How nice.
For his mum. Who likes drinking shots, I presume. Well, no, I think she just displays the glasses.
I'm sure she does, yeah.
It's like thimbles, you know.
So they're like little thimbles from everybody. That's really nice, you see, because as a working comedian, he obviously gets to travel around a lot. He must get one from lots of cities in this country.
He thinks about his old mum, you know. I'm not saying she's old, but she's more than 26.
Yeah, so that's true. She's probably younger than you.
She's from the West Country, so probably she is probably younger than me.
So we're after euphemisms. Well, among the things we're after today are polite euphemisms, and we really mean polite, things you can actually say. But I also like the idea of people sending in ones that aren't euphemisms, but sound like they are.
This one's one from James in Glasgow, he says, my wife Valerie thinks the phrase glass-bottomed boat sounds like a euphemism.
It does.
For what?
Yeah, but that's let's leave it there. Leave it to the imagination of the listeners. We've actually got two real ones here, one real one, but sent in by two different people. Penny texted in this, and so did Sonia in Walthamstow, which is going to drop the kids off at the pool. Which, if you don't know what it is, you can use your imagination. But it is a genuine euphemism. I think parents use it quite a lot, going to drop the kids off at the pool. And
Or anyone who does that.
Yeah, that's true, which is everybody.
It doesn't have to be fair.
No, it doesn't. There's something about being a parent.
I dropped the kids off at the pool earlier.
That's true, right, okay. So this is what I like about this. It's totally polite. You can actually do a transcription of this programme. There's not a word in here that will cause any problem to anyone. In fact, Jack has texted in with one, which I think he's made up. Having a problem with the servants, which is based on something I said. So everything, yes. Having a problem with the servants is a fantastic euphemism. Start with the words and then think of what it means. And don't email in with what they actually mean. We don't want to see rude words even on the text, even if you don't read them out. So, Andrew Collins, Richard Herring, in until 1 o'clock. And this is one already. This is the Boo Radleys with the euphemism from the bench at Belvedere. I'm not sure it is one, but it can be.
That was From the Bench at Belvedere by the Boo Radleys. I'm like a proper DJ.
But you are like a proper DJ.
I am, it's like I'm on the radio.
Yeah, although you've got long hair and it's caught in your headphones.
A little bit, well, I had my sunglasses on as well, so that was the problem.
Oh, I see.
My sunglasses were up in my... In my hair.
Yeah.
And I forgot they were there, and I put my headphones on. It was hilarious. And my life is like a sitcom.
It's the is, way yes.
You could literally just film me 24 hours a day and put that out on TV. I'm that funny.
If only that was true. You were actually making money out of this imaginary sitcom. And really, you know, I think the problem is not the sunglasses or the headphones. It's the fact you've got long hair, Richard.
I know. Well,
in 2009.
Everyone's having a go at me.
I'm not having a go at you.
What's wrong? People have got long hair. What about... Oh, the bloke from Status Quo has just had his ponytail cut off.
Exactly. So you're behind Status Quo in the hair fashion stakes.
What about Jesus? He hasn't. He never cut his hair.
That's true. That's true.
And he still hasn't. He's been growing for 2,000 years.
Yeah. Good for him. I have a good deed to read to you, which is slightly long, but it's very nice. It's from Ollie. Good deeds, very much in the spirit of genial John Richardson's show. He'll be back next weekend, don't worry. Last weekend, says Ollie, myself and Rachel found a lady's purse. And this is, we're not talking euphemisms anymore now. This is actually a lady's purse in the park in North London. Being a hot day, we carried on our walk, expecting to find a policeman to hand it into. By this time, we'd been walking for miles and miles, about 2 miles, in fact. So why don't you just say that? Rachel was tired and needed a drink, and being a chivalrous new man in her life, I treated her to a can of Vimto. Unfortunately, we were
But once they've been out for a couple of months, that's it. No more of it. The Vimto will be cut
off. Enjoy it now, Rachel, while you can. Unfortunately, we were 10 pence short, and our only choice was to borrow it from the purse that we found with the intention of replacing the 10p. 4 hours later, after a pit stop in the pub, we eventually found a police station. You never find a police station when you need one, can you? They handed it in to the police, and the woman whose purse it was phoned and said how pleased she was to get it because the police
said, "Where's my 10p?
She didn't
Where's
say that.
My 10p?
She offered to give
there
us a
was
reward.
10p in there.
She had a face like Susan Boyle. She says they'd restored her faith in humanity by giving it to the police. She offered to give us a reward, and Ollie says, I almost made myself ill when I responded, give it to charity. Yesterday we received a cheque and a letter calling us angels. I did, however, fail...
It's but, turning a bit show-offy now.
Oh, I did.
There better be something to undercut this.
All right,
he's
undercutting it with the fact that he never did tell her about the 10p. So it's a kind of good deed, slightly tempered by, not a bad deed, but just a little bit of deception. 10p's worth of deception.
I absolve him of that.
We absolve you of that.
And my role as the new... I'm not saying I'm Jesus, that's for other people to say. and what about this? Should I do Andy from Nutch?
Yes.
I don't know what Nutch stands for, N-C-H.
Norwich.
I don't know.
Nantwich.
Anyway.
Northwich.
Or it might be... You might just be going... at the end of this.
Yeah.
My two-month pregnant wife was upset about feeling sick. Unfortunately for her, I was too busy with work and got cross with her for being in a bad mood. Sorry. See, that's the other... That's when the Vimto days are over.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I absolve you, Andy, because you are sorry.
So. That's good. And so if you want to say sorry, you've done a bad deed, even a small bad deed, you can do so. So it's johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk 64046 on the text. Myself and Richard Herring will absolve you of all your sins, and we'll be having more sins and good deeds after the news. On digital. Don't take on so. That's Nirvana and Lithium on 6 Music, coming up to 20 to 11. I'm Andrew Collins.
I'm Richard Herring.
And we are Andrew Collins and Richard Herring.
We are today, not on our podcast. We have different names, because we're very different people.
We are. This is the professional Andrew Collins and Richard Herring. And, obviously, we're now in the wake of the crushing of Susan Boyle's dream last night. All the papers have that scary face that she was making before she found out that she came second.
Well, the Mail on the Mirror is saying, oh, look at this, is her face she pulled when she found out she'd lost. But in fact, she was pulling that face until she found out she'd lost, and then she suddenly smiled.
She cheered up.
She looked like she was about to gun everyone in the audience down.
Yeah.
It was the scariest look I've ever seen. Everyone else was waving nicely as they're introduced, and she was just sort of standing
she was in terror.
She was, you know, it's an odd experience for her. I thought she'd win it standing on her head, I have to say, but she didn't.
She came second. And now the dream is over. Crushed on the rocks, she only stands to make £8 million over the next year with Simon Cowell acting as her Svengali. So,
did you see it, though, when she lost? She started in this thing where she dances and shows her calves, and she was going a little bit crazy, euphemistically speaking, she suddenly, at the end, she kind of got her whole leg out, and Anton Deck had to kind of almost wrestle her to the ground to stop her showing more than we possibly wanted to see.
It was great television, and no wonder, 16 million people watched it. It'll be the most watched thing ever, probably this year, on television. So ITV had a good day yesterday. But what I like about Susan Boyle, it's not her doing, is that she has a nickname, which I think Heat magazine probably started, Subo, by that kind of trendy thing of taking the first part and the second part of your first and second name to make Subo.
Yeah.
And
J-Lo.
J-Lo is the first to do it. The first to do it as a superstar. And Simon Cowell, his record label is called Psycho, which is quite clever, because it's Psy and Co.
And so, he's a psycho.
But that's what he's implying by the name, isn't he?
But
it can't be true, can it? And Lindsay Lohan is called Lilo. Again, she may not have thought of this. We thought of it, the media. And Kevin, what's his name? Britney's...
K-Fed. Kevin Federer.
So K-Fed, which sounds wrong. Mine doesn't work. So you may be sitting out there with a name that works really well, and we'd like to know. Mine doesn't work. In fact, very few of it. None of us in this room it works for. And Co.
That's all right.
It's nice. It sounds like a supermarket.
It's a low...
really cheap supermarket.
Yeah, and Co.
I'll probably do well in the recession, but nevertheless. And Co is no good. I'm never going to use it. Yours just...
Rihi. Or Richie.
It doesn't work. It's not cool. Rihi. It just sounds like... It sounds like a kind of, I don't know.
I'm going to make that my stage name from now on. Rihi. I'm going to insist on everyone using it.
Rihi. It does sound quite cheerful. In a sort of, I don't know, you could be sort of sitting on a gatepost somewhere. Like a troll, in fact. It sounds like a troll's cry. Rihi. Do you remember Culture Club? The bassist, I think, was called Roy Hay.
Yeah.
And Catelyn Moran, the Now Times columnist, she said it must be brilliant to wake up in the morning and just think of your own name and go, Ray! Anyway.
It wouldn't work for him because his name's already too short. Yeah. He can't shorten it.
Roha. But if you're lucky enough to have one, please do tell us what it is. We'll work it out for you if you like. Text us on 64046 or johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk, and we'd like to hear from you. It's good if you've got one. You can't make this thing happen. You've either got the name that you were given.
Don't make up your own name so it makes it work. We'll check the electoral roll.
We've got time on our hands, and we are the BBC. So please do get in touch. As I say, no one in this room has one that works, so that's four people it doesn't work for, so we'd like yours, please. Wow, how nice was that? That was the Chameleons doing Second Skin for John Peel on the 8th of June 1983. You're listening to Six Music. I'm Andrew Collins.
And I'm Rihi.
Rihi, otherwise known as Richard Herring.
That's my new name.
From now on, Rihi.
And Cohen Rihi.
If ever a troll is beneath a bridge, that you go over it and they shout your name out that way, you will understand now.
Good.
Rihi.
I've got some more of those. This one's from an anonymous, suggesting a new name for a famous person. Pete Doherty would become Pedo.
Don't think about it, but that's unfortunate. And that's probably why he doesn't use that nickname.
That's quite good.
It might put people off him.
Conor Ramsey, Conra.
Yeah, if your name works, then please do let us know.
For children of non-recovered alcoholics, lucky me. Tabitha Bowden, Tabo.
Tabo is nice,
James Siddle says Jazzy, but it'd be good if he used if he changed his first name to Jim, that would be better.
Yeah, or just called himself Jay-Z, which I think has been taken. Colin Simpson obviously is Cozy, which is nice, isn't it? Cozy.
Yeah.
So if you've got one, let us know. And this is slightly different. Mrs. OD is on Twitter and says she's listening to Six Music for the first time because of us. So we should probably, for her and anyone else who's listening for the first time, explain what else is on Six Music today that you might also like to listen to. I'll do that, shall I?
Yeah, because you've got the piece of paper.
This is to show we care. Hughie Morgan's on at 2 p.m. A Month of Sundays ends, or Kerris Matthews
run on that. I don't care, by the way.
Why?
I don't care what else is on. and I'm just glad I'm on now.
Yeah,
I'm after we're off, I'm turning off after we're on.
You're never listening again.
I'm never,
see, it's a team player. I told you it's a team player. Month of Sundays ends. Keris Matthews' run on that ends today, although she'll be back, as you probably know. And Stuart McConey, my one-time broadcasting partner, presents The Freak Zone at 5:30 today.
Is he on every week?
He's on every week. Yeah. He has a home.
That
here.
Makes you mad, doesn't it?
No, he's got a pigeonhole. You know, some people have pigeonholes, other people just pass like ships in the night. I've got a fantastic euphemism email here.
Yeah, from a pigeonhole at Six Music. That's the best one you've come
up
with.
Yeah,
I've got a pigeonhole at Six Music.
Yes. I'm using someone else's pigeonhole at Six Music. It's even funnier. Euphemisms are everywhere we look because the English language is a marvellous thing. Will and Kate in Eastbourne have they've typed this together. I like people who do that, typing an email together, one word each, or one letter each, perhaps. In fact, Will Weaver's name, in the kind of Subo J-Lo style, comes out as Wee Wee, which he should never use. Anyway, he and she say, a few years ago, I stood in our echoey hallway and dropped a cracking blow-off, which is, that's what he says, and I think blow-off is a perfectly reasonable way of describing that, past gas, which it reverberated upstairs, says Will, to where my girlfriend Kate was in the bathroom. She mistook the sound for something else and shouted, "Is that the post?" Which is absolutely brilliant. So our friends like this so much, they now declare they have post whenever they need to let one go. That is just brilliant. I love this language.
We could go and work in France. He'd be big in France.
He would,
but in England, it would never work.
He'd be a yes man in France.
It would. There's a couple from Armando Iannucci's Charm Offensive. I won't say what they're for. This is from Michelle in Sheffield. Hoof one up to Rooney.
Yep.
And going for a ramble in the Mendips.
So you just have to leave a silence after those and use your minds. Send more in. 64046 on the text, if you like. And johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk. You say that, but it's much harder to say than the 64046.
What? johnrichardson.bbc@bbc.co.uk.
See, you got it wrong. BBC. See, it's really BBC. Easy to
well,
get.
I haven't got it written down in front of me.
Nor have I,
johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk.
No, you can't have two ats in it. He's had two ats.
No, johnrichardson.
Yes.
That's what I said. Yeah. You're not listening. Why don't you listen to what I say?
I can't listen. I'm going to play a record. I get to press the buttons.
That was Little Boots, New in Town. I don't know which way round. Was it the band called Little Boots? That's what I'm guessing.
It's a lady called Little Boots.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you don't read enough Sunday supplements.
Libo.
Libo, yes. I've had a
Libo.
You're listening to Andrew Collins and Richard Herring in for John Richardson on Six Music. And whether you like it or not, we're going to turn your names into Subo J-Lo style cool names. So Neil Hopkins, who was emailed in, he's N-Hop. From now on, you are N-Hop. N-Hop wants us to wish good luck to his daughter, Alicia, who's got her A-level exams starting tomorrow. So good luck to Alicia, although you should tell her that they're much easier now. She'll like that. If you tell her that, it'll be fine. She'll really appreciate that information.
We've got some more of the names. Amanda Holden, this is fantastic.
This is not her emailing in.
No, but someone has, on her behalf, A-Hole.
A-Hole is good.
Or A-Ho.
A-Ho. I'm surprised she doesn't use either of those.
Rowan Bowcut is Robo.
That's excellent. You see, you can't make these happen. They either happen or they don't. And Lisa, Lisa Sanders says hers is Lisa, which is probably the best one so far, because no one knows you're actually doing it.
John, I've lost everything. Clive in sunny Torquay. I just did a producer's one instead. A couple of years ago, this is a euphemism, the Beeb showed a costume drama entitled Tipping the Velvet.
Do you remember that one?
He didn't understand what that meant until he saw it. And then he says, P.S. Why doesn't the Beeb make more shows like that?
Yeah, why don't they? What, more costume dramas?
He's slightly misspelt. He's so excited. Even as he's typing.
He's a real fan.
He's typing with one hand there, which is probably another euphemism.
He loves costume dramas. It's a particular type of costume drama. Keep them coming, basically. 64046 on the text.
There's another euphemism.
What? Keep them coming. Yeah, well, everything is a euphemism now. We've opened up the gates and we can't close them again. There's
a non-euphemism from Keith in Lewis. My dogs are barking, which is Scottish for sore feet.
So why would you not want to say I've got sore feet?
Doesn't need a euphemism.
No, that's true. It's a polite phrase. I've got sore feet. And we go, how dare you? That's disgusting.
The dogs are barking.
Get out of here.
It sounds worse than it is.
Cover the dog's ears up in case they hear these terrible phrases. So keep them coming. I can do it now. johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk. Angela by Jarvis Cocker, or Jacko. Which is ironic, isn't it? That'll be his name, Jacko. Everybody's got one. They're not all good, but some of them are brilliant. So you're listening to And Co. and Ree. on Six Music. We've dealt bad hands, haven't we? Really, basically, with our names.
I like them.
Yeah, I like my whole name, Andrew Collins. It's fine.
I don't like my whole name.
Don't you? No. You just don't like me, though, do you?
I don't really like you.
No, I understand that. That's okay.
I'm forced to work with you.
Yeah, but that I think the people listening enjoy that kind of tension between us. There's a lot of different tensions, and the fact that you don't like me is, I think...
I don't like you. I love you.
You do. And you've got a T-shirt on.
You.
That
need
says
you.
I'm just trying to get off this. You've got a T-shirt that says "I hate oat milk," which was made by a fan.
Yes, of our podcast.
Of our podcast, where
the Collings and Herring podcast. Get them on iTunes.
Yeah, nothing to do with the BBC.
Don't listen if you are of a certain disposition.
No. Oat milk is something that I choose to drink because it's milk made of oats, which means it has no cow juice in it, which I choose not to drink.
Oat milk is something I choose to drink is another euphemism. I choose to drink oat milk. Well, that is the choice I have made.
I mentioned it last night with some friends, and they said, what is oat milk? How do you get milk out of an oat? Which is an absolutely perfectly reasonable first question.
And what you do is you put some oats into some milk and then strain out the oats.
So you just got milk.
That's the milk. Yeah. And there's a slight tinge of oat on it.
Yeah, which I like. I like the tinge of oat. And I sometimes make porridge with oat milk, which basically is making oats with oats. So that's double oats.
There's milk in oats. How come you should just be able to make porridge naturally?
There isn't milk in oats.
Well, how do you get milk out of oats?
You put some oats in some water.
Yeah.
And then take the oats out and you're left with what?
So
is
it's
it?
Just some water.
Yeah, it's water. It's like homeopathic
dirty
milk.
Water. It's got the memory of oats
dirty
in it.
Dirty water. So anyway, that's why your T-shirt says, "I hate oat milk."
Yeah.
A man called Robin made the T-shirts up for us and designed them. And he made one for me which said, "I love oat milk," which I'm not wearing.
Because we're very different.
We are. We are like yin and yang. I have a lovely good deed here to read out, which is addressed to Temporary John. We are Temporary John Richardson. John Richardson will be back next Sunday. We are here now doing what he does every week, which is share good deeds. And this is a lovely one. Kate in the New Forest says, I am finally awake in time for your show, I thought I would share my good deed for the week. When walking out from a well-known supermarket chain with my mum yesterday, the regular big issue man, or man selling magazines that make money for the homeless. Well, there's only one though, isn't there? I'm being
ridiculous. We're allowed to.
He was sat on his stool.
That up.
He was sat on his stool. Where I would usually give him the £1.50, I realised I had no change, says Katie. I offered the man an exchange. My brioche custard loaf, guess which supermarket it was, for a copy of the magazine. He accepted the offer, and I believe that he was more nourished by the loaf than by the money I would have given him. Now, that is supposed to be a good deed.
Bad deed.
We applaud the thinking behind it, because you just wanted to give something to the homeless man. Richard thinks it's a bad deed.
He doesn't want a brioche loaf.
He doesn't, does he? I do. That's
no good homeless person.
What if he doesn't eat...
If you get enough, you could build a home out of them, but...
I suppose so, yeah. And it's also got custard in it. And if he might be dairy intolerant. So you've insulted him and made him ill.
Well, if he accepted it, then that's fair enough. I don't think it's a good... I think it's a bad deed. Give the big issue sellers money.
Yeah. Go back and give him some money.
Yeah.
And then it will be a double good deed.
If you find a purse, give it to a homeless person.
Yeah, that's true. So we're trying to spread love.
You're like Robin Hood, but just one who finds things rather than steals things.
Katie lives in the New Forest. She lives in a forest, so she probably understands Robin Hood. She probably lives up a tree, do you think? And so just even coming down and going to a posh supermarket, probably a big adventure for her. She's a tree person. This is Simple Minds. I like this. Simple Minds on Six Music. I travel... I'm Andrew Collins. Here's Richard Herring.
Some of you have been asking for our Twitter names. You can tweet us. We're looking at it during the show. It's at Collings A, CollingsA. That's my one. Not really. That's Andrew's one. And mine's at Herring 1967.
Yeah, which is the year that you became 20. The year you were born, that's it.
Year I became 20. I'm not 61 years old.
I know. It's that long hair, you see. It looks like you've just sort of given up. So, so if you want to go onto Twitter, which is a very modern place to go and leave little messages for us, you can do. So now you know where we are. How do we pick? No lover. This is Six Music, 11:15. Andrew Collins, Richard Herring until 1:00. In for John Richardson. John Furness in Sheffield, or J-Fur, as I think he should be called.
Jofu.
Jofu. Yeah, Jofu is good. That's a very modern sounding name.
Like tofu.
It is,
Jofu.
Yeah. Jofu. Sounds better than tofu, actually. Tofu is a bit. And you think I like tofu, don't you? But I like meat and oat milk. That's the kind of weird dichotomy I present to you on legs. He just says, thanks for playing Second Skin by the Chameleons, which we did earlier on. Hasn't heard them on the radio for years, and it's made his Sunday morning. And his friend Dave is off to Peru on Monday with his wife Rose for their honeymoon, and so he wishes them well. So we wish them well too. It's nice, isn't it?
I don't wish them well.
Don't you?
No.
But they might be nice.
I don't know them. They might be really horrible people.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying I wish them bad.
Of course, that would be awful. That would be wrong.
I'm sitting on the fence until I know them better.
Fair enough. You're remaining ambivalent. We'll meet them when they come back and see how they
turn out. I'm suspicious of anyone who's got married, to be honest. It's a triumph of hope over experience.
Man sitting on the shelf there with his big long hair. I've got a really nice good deed, which I'd like you to... I know you don't know this one, Richard, but I've checked it. It's very, very good. It's from Leon Carney, or Lee Carr.
Yeah,
that's what we'll call him. He says he was driving his car through his local town. I saw some kids playing with a radio-controlled car. As a car theme to this, attached to the top of the car was a wicker basket which contained a wide-eyed and slightly confused-looking rabbit. The rabbit might have been having a good time, says Leon, but I felt morally obliged to intervene, and I told the kids to consider the consequences if there was a crash. Fortunately, the kids saw sense, and they removed the rabbit without any argument and continued to race their car. Not the end of the email. A couple of hours later, I drove past the kids again. I could see that the rabbit had been replaced with a chicken. So I stopped to talk to the kids, this time telling them that the RSPCA would come and take their pets away if they didn't look after them. Just like before, the kids made no fuss, and one of them lifted the chicken to safety. At this point, I thought it might be prudent to ask the kids if they had any other pets that they were planning to introduce to the world of motor racing. The question was met with a uniform silence. But just as I was getting back into my car, one of the kids volunteered the following information. We have 4 rabbits, a gerbil, 2 chickens, but before he could finish, another kid interrupted. Shut up, Nigel, don't tell him anything. Fantastic scene you're setting here.
Nigel,
yeah. Nigel clearly felt that the game was up, and he presented me with a list of lap times achieved by each one of their pets around the homemade radio-controlled car circuit. I'm not laughing at the cruelty, I'm just laughing at the gall of the kids and the invention. Leon says, I was now clearly in way over my head, so I got in my car and drove home. I think that is a good deed, because you attempted, on behalf of animal kind, to sort of save them. But obviously, let's pretend the pets were enjoying it and there were no
crashes. They would have loved that. It's like horse racing. What they love, horses love horse racing.
They do.
That's what the jockeys say.
Even though they have to hit them with sticks.
They like that.
They do like that.
Some creatures enjoy that.
Get off
kind
me.
Of behaviour.
Yeah. So thank you very much for that, Leon. That's absolutely superb. And I applaud you. For some people are scared of kids these days. It's a terrible world we live in. As Al Murray says, broken Britain. But if you see kids doing things, do intervene. There's no way they're going to hurt you or stab you or shoot you. I've checked, it's absolutely fine. Do you have anything you'd like to read out there, Richard?
Not really.
Alexis
Andrio, who has a nice name, his name goes down to Alan.
Al-Ann, yes, that's good. You see, you can shorten your name and you can be as cool as J-Lo and Subo. Al-Ann. Holly Bollard has texted in, hers is Holbol, which is good. Louise Dore, as in D-O-R-E, says, I think that makes me Ludo. Which she says is very playful, and she's enjoying the show. So text us in if you've got a name that works as a J-Lo style name. I'm Andco. He is Rihi. That's the Black Kids. I'm not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you. I tried to make you like the Black Kids album, didn't I, Richard?
I like it. I've got it.
I know.
It's on my iPod.
Yeah.
So other MP3 players are available.
They are, yes, that's true. They're not as good as the iPod, but they probably are, actually.
Mine's got a phone on it as well. That's why it's better than the other one.
So, I like the Black Kids album. And we were talking very briefly about the thing that everybody's talking about, so we don't want to go on about it too much, but Britain's Got Talent ended last night. Tonight, fantastic, it's not on. Which, for those of us who are not interested in it, I mean, I can't help but be interested as what's known as a cultural commentator.
You don't have to watch it. You can make it not be on by watching something else, or even just going out in the sunshine.
I did that.
It was such a lovely day yesterday. So many. It's good having Twitter, because you realise how many people are stuck at home watching TV on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yeah, it's true. You're actually out and enjoying yourself. Or you weren't. You were in
I was
your
in
house working.
Working hard. Yeah.
So, I was out last night. I didn't watch any of the semis or the quarterfinals or whatever have been on all week. But I did obviously find out, because you can't avoid it, that Susan has been beaten by Diversity, who are a kind of 80s dance troupe, aren't they? And they were quite surprised. And if you see the clip, you can't help but see it. It'll be the main item on the news tonight, that Diversity beat Susan Boyle. And when they found out, there's loads of them. There's about 10 of them, is there? And when they found out, they just all fell over. It was brilliant. The camera was there, and they just all disappeared because they all fell to the floor. It's a fantastic reaction.
They're fine when they're choreographed, but when they're not, they can't make a move without being choreographed. They just fall flat on their faces.
Their legs just gave out.
I think they were surprised. Julian Smith came third. He's got the worst showbiz name of all, Julian Smith. That's terrible. He's got to change it. I've got a suggestion.
Go on, then.
Juzzum.
Juzzum. Yeah, yeah, that's good. If he'd had a better name, Juzzum, he might have done well.
Juzzum on the sax.
Yeah.
That's what he could be.
That's why he came third.
Juzzum.
Yeah. Didn't really work.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
He looked really cross that he'd only come third out of everybody in the country. I mean, you know, he's third. That means he's the third best act in the whole of the country, the whole of this great land of ours, and he was all cross.
He wanted to play in front of the Queen. They asked all 10 of them why they, would they be honoured to play in front of the Queen, and they all just said the same. There was 5 minutes of television where everyone went, it would be amazing to play in front of the Queen, because she is the Queen. It would be like the highlight of my career. You know, every child in the country is dreaming of playing the Royal Variety Performance. That is everyone's dream. If that I could just have that, I would give up. The Royal Variety Performance, that's all. Who wouldn't want that? That is the top. That's the thing everyone wants.
But why didn't
not
they
to get to number one.
No, not to get
or have millions of pounds.
£100,000.
Royal, the Queen. Imagine performing it would be. I would be humbled.
Do you think that they probably thought that Susan Ball was the Queen? Because she looks a bit like the Queen, doesn't she? She's kind of slightly regal. She's regal.
I think the Queen would have something to say about that. I've never seen the Queen flashing her legs and doing a little jig.
No, well, I'm glad about that. You have to have some decorum
in this
world.
The Queen plucks everything. She plucks all the hair out of her head.
Yes, well...
and everywhere else.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stop you there.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
What are you thinking?
Because you're suggesting... that the
there's something wrong with hair now, is there?
Is it depilate?
Yes.
She depilates. Of course she has to keep herself good. She has to go around the world. She's an ambassador for this country.
Eyebrows and everything.
That's De La Soul on Six Music. Keeping the faith. Andrew Collins, Richard Herring warming the seat for John Richardson before he gets back next week. We're after your euphemisms, your J-Lo, Subo-style names and good deeds. More of those after the news. On digital.
Right, it's the second half of the show and now I'm in charge. Although Andrew's still got all the buttons and stuff, which means he can shut me up whenever he likes. I'm Richard Herring and that is my companion, Andrew Collins. Not like that, we're just friends. And that was La Rue with Bulletproof. Do you want to take it back over again? I'm finding it a bit hard.
You've got... I thought I would now... This would be a good time, I thought, since we're halfway through the show. We're here till one. To hand round my homemade biscotti that I've made, obviously, at home. Would you like to have a piece each, everybody?
I don't think this is a good idea, because I have tried this on the way to Brighton this week, and it's the driest, most... You won't believe this.
Try it, everybody.
Andrew's made this himself. It's like eating dust.
It's quite
so
dry.
I'm gonna get this, and I won't be able to speak once I've eaten. I'm going to try it now. It's chocolate.
Coffee flavour. And hazelnuts.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever eaten.
What do you think, everybody? It's a live sampling of my homemade biscotti. It's the first time I've ever made it.
It's kind of
it's
something
an experiment.
It gets better. Once the first taste is really horrible. There's no sugar in it or anything. It's awful.
There's a sugar substitute in it.
No, and then this isn't good. We're making noises on TV, right. on the radio.
That means I can now talk while you can't talk.
I can't talk. My whole throat is
it's like
constricted.
Eating a desert.
There you go. It's like eating a desert. Richard said yes on the way down to Brighton. It's the worst thing he'd ever eaten. He said it was the worst thing he'd ever eaten.
But funnily enough, the more you eat of it, and then if you let it go down and wait about 5 minutes, there's quite a nice taste at 5 minutes later. That's the only food I've ever experienced that with. The initial taste is disgusting.
If you'd rather do a co-host with Nigella Lawson, that's fine.
I would.
Would you? Why?
Yeah.
Would you? No, you wouldn't.
I would.
She
there's lots of reasons.
No, you're absolutely useless.
I can think of two reasons. She's better at cooking and she's a better presenter.
She's not a better presenter.
Two very good
better
reasons.
Than me. Where's her radio show, Richard? I can't see it.
Mind she you, doesn't need to go on the radio.
We've had some emails and texts while we were waiting, and this comes in from Adam in Northants. Oh, God, don't take on, so. It's a perfectly nice biscuit. It's my first attempt.
It's very Moorish.
There you go, you see, it's Moorish. I'll write that on the post.
No one else seems to be taking a second bite, though.
I might market these the way Paul Newman did with his sauces, and Barry Norman has done with pickled onions. Did you see that? Barry Norman, he does his own pickled onions.
That can't be true.
He does! You can buy Barry Norman's pickled onions.
Barry Norman's pickled onions.
Yeah.
That's another euphemism. I bet they're really wrinkly. Saggy and wrinkly pickled onions. I bet he's got...
Oh, that's the end of our cookery spot on the show. Al Green has probably had some of my biscotti. Take me to the river, he's saying. I need a drink.
It's kind of got me in the back. It's weird. The aftertaste is really weird. And I think it must be the only food in the universe that stimulates taste buds in the back of your throat.
Yeah, you didn't know you had them there.
That no other food can get to.
It finds them.
It's right down my throat. I can taste sort of... nutty. There could be anything in these as well. That's what's that's awful thing. They're just in a little plastic bag. Well, you could have put anything in there.
I'm eating one as well.
I got a bad deed about something similar to that was too horrible to read out. Yeah, well, something someone did to someone's HP source, his own HP source, because his flatmate kept on stealing his stuff out.
I'm glad that you didn't read that out.
But it was nasty.
Yeah, nasty. We're after euphemisms today.
It wasn't as nasty as it sounds. It wasn't something HP source that went in there. It was something, another effluent.
Right.
Well, there may have been any kind of effluent in there. There's no flour and no sugar in those biscotti.
Well, all right, there's no wheat flour in these
biscotti. None of the things that make biscuits nice in there.
It's a special, not very nice biscuit recipe. Kate Webb, who's on Twitter, said that we should have our own cookery show, which I think you do need a gimmick on a cookery show.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie Oliver's was that he was about 10 years old. Nigella Lawson's is she's not actual trained chef, but she looks nice.
There's more. That's sexist.
What? That she looks nice?
Yeah.
It's not, what? That is not an element of why people like her.
No, she's an excellent presenter. I look beyond her fabulous globes.
She is a domestic goddess as well, yeah, I suppose. That's her gimmick. Gordon Ramsay's is that he swears all the time. And ours could be that I make things that are really horrible and you say they're really horrible. I think that could work. There's got to be a slot on us on UK food. Is that what it's called? UK TV food, I think. Yeah,
they've advertise. Someone will turn over and watch that now.
No, they won't.
They will.
They're gripped now by the tension between us, I think. So we're after euphemisms. Oh. Adam in Northants, which is my home county. He says he's currently peeling the parsnips, which I think he actually is physically peeling some parsnips, but nevertheless, maybe he's going to make some parsnip biscotti. That would be lovely. And we also like your names that can be shortened to J-Lo or Subo style. And Andy Chappell has texted in because his is A-Chap, which is nice, isn't it? I like that. So Andy Chappell, A-Chap. If you've got one that works, please do let us know. Have you got any more over there, Richard?
I've got a euphemism from Lizzie in Ledbury. I live near a famous range of hills, and on a lovely day like today, my husband likes nothing better than to take me up the Malverns.
That's lovely. You see, that's not even... That's actually just what he does, obviously. Yeah. That's nice. So there you go. So if you've got any, do join in.
And while he's up there...
64046 on the text, johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk. And
he does are up the Malverns with her. Is just don't let's pause or let me say
all
the
right
thing
then,
you meant
this,
to interrupt me to stop me getting to the bit
after
that I'm
this,
gonna
after
say
this,
what it actually means.
After this we'll be hearing a session track from the Cocteau Twins. That's John Peel session track from the Cocteau Twins from 22nd of January 1983. Blind, Dumb, Deaf. Oh, I love that band. I love them. You don't care either way, do you, Richard Herring?
Are they really twins?
Nope. No, they're different. There's two men, or they're not going anymore. Two men and one lady.
And the Thompson twins weren't really twins either.
No, they
were. There were three of them.
Well, they were in Tintin.
I know, but then I'm talking about BAM in the world of music now.
Oh, sorry, Richard. That's where you normally are. So he is Richard Herring, and I am Andrew Collins.
Yes, and Paul Clark has tweeted to say, webcam is a novelty. Looks like Collins is doing all the work, and you are playing on your phone, he says to me. But... This is work. I'm holding up. I'm looking at the Twitter.
Of course you
That's
are.
That's work.
In other words, you're reading out the Twitter, the tweet that he's just tweeted.
Yeah, that is work.
Which is
clear. That is
work.
What I do for a job.
It's communicating.
I look at my phone and read out what it says on it. That is a hard job.
Yeah.
It's more than 10 minutes an hour, which someone else sarcastically says on there.
And
even if it is, it's bad luck. I've worked for years to get to this position where I can just come on and say the first thing that comes into my head whilst filtering it slightly while I'm talking to you today.
That's good.
Taking things out. I've got a shout out... to Hannah Barnett, who is a head girl at Ashmole School. She wants to give a shout-out to all Year 13s. I don't understand this new
angle. Oh, I don't understand it, Richard.
Is that literally... So the Year 1 is when you're 5 and Year 13's when you're 18?
Yeah, that's...
13 seems too many years to have at school.
It does.
Is that how many years are at school? I suppose it is, but it feels... it feels not enough. So it's a year's 13 implies she's 13, but she's obviously not. She's the head girl.
She's
in the sixth form. She's 18. Anyway, at Ashmole School in Southgate... It was our last day on Friday. I want to wish everyone the best of luck in their exams. That's how I remember my last day at school.
What happened?
It was a long time ago. I just felt quite sad to be leaving school. Everyone else was really excited about going into the adult world, but I'd quite like to still be at school. I'd quite like if there's the option just to stay on.
Yeah.
So it'd be a year. I'd be in year, what would I be in, 36 now or something. But you're still in school with people your own age.
Yeah.
But you can just go in, people will teach you stuff. You can do your work there. And you get lessons, but then you can go and have some. You can go and play. Everything's, you know.
School meals are brilliant.
I could just do with that, because I'm not very disciplined. I could do with the discipline. You get meals, you get sports and stuff, after school clubs. It would be great.
Yeah, you could join chess
club. You could wear school uniforms if you wanted. I mean, that's just an additional little thing I had, a peccadillo that I would enjoy.
What is a school uniform if not a suit, which some people do for their
job? I don't want that. I want 40-year-old women in my year dressed up in... school uniforms with ties and blouses on. That's right. 40-year-old women, that's okay. It's not. It's all right as long as they're 40.
Of course it is.
It's all right to fancy a 40-year-old woman in a school uniform. There's nothing perverse about that at all.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
You're listening to Six Music, coming up to the end of the second hour of Andrew Collins and Richard Herring, filling in for genial John Richardson, who'll be back next week in the usual slot. And now, without even asking for this, somebody called Will has just emailed in suggesting possible commercial names for my chocolate biscotti, yeah, which I have made everybody sick with by giving it around the studio.
Still, I'm still slightly gagging. Yeah. The gag reflex.
Well, I think that
food should not really should trigger the gag reflex. If you're going to sell it anyway.
It's true. It should trigger pleasure. Yeah, that's really what it should do. And I think, you know,
gag reflex might be quite a good name for your company.
That's good. Andrew Collins is gag reflex biscuits. Yeah,
and
that's
also
nice.
For my comedy company.
Hey, that's good. Maybe there's something in that.
There must be something.
Gags, we'll work that out. Anyway, Will's suggestions are not very good. They're not. But it might might prompt other people to come up with better names for my homemade biscotti. This is AC's Bickies. That's not very good.
No.
Is it too critical to say that about a good listener?
Yeah, well,
it's email
rude. There's lots of emails we get that we don't read out because they're rubbish. Yes. Read one out and go, that's rubbish. No, seems rude to me. That's not good. You're saying it's a good idea he's come up with.
It's a brilliant
His execution is poor.
Yeah, but what he might do is inspire others to produce better work, which I think is a good positive thing.
That is something. That's some comfort to him in his wasted life.
So
he inspired someone else to come up with a better idea.
Yeah. But some people are those that inspire. Yeah. There are others that are inspired.
Yeah.
His other one is Collins's Crummy Surprise, but it's quite good. But still, as I say, not quite there. So he's kicked the ball now into touch. Can you run with it?
Text on 64046.
Yeah, or email on
johnrichardson.6music@bbc.co.uk,
which you were reading.
I was
not remembering
it off the top of my head.
No, you didn't.
There's actually 14 years at school, and the reception is the first year. Someone kindly tweeted to tell me that.
For a whole of the first year, you're just in reception?
Yeah.
Just waiting to be allowed into the school?
It seems bad to make the really youngest kids work on reception.
Yes, that's true.
They'd be rubbish at it as well.
Yeah.
Going, I don't know how to operate the phone. How do we let people in?
But Richard,
Andy,
young people know how to operate
phones. They do.
Better than you or I.
Andy McAfee says, what about fancying a schoolgirl dressed as a 40-year-old woman? Then that is not all right. He says that's all right, but that is not. That is really weird.
What, an 18-year-old person dressed as a very
18,
weird
I suppose, is all right.
Exactly. So I've got a good deed here.
If you're under 25.
Yeah, okay.
If you're over 25.
Yeah, it's not.
Disgraceful.
Okay. Right, so we've set the rules out. Wendy has texted in her good deed. She says, an elderly lady was standing with the wheel of her shopping trolley. I took her to the hardware shop, got them to mend it and to deliver it to her house for free. And then I did her shop for her and drove her home. And I'd taken so much time doing that, I got a parking ticket. That's heroic, isn't it? That's
more
proper hero.
More people are giving their good deeds and their bad deeds, which shows that people like to show off and they're ashamed of their bad deeds.
It means that people are good and not bad, Richard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there time for another one?
Yeah.
George Wade.
Jiwa.
Rubbish. My good deed is that I helped my dad with cleaning up and weeding the back garden / patio. Alan, we're out from the patio. I was allocated the task of pressure washing the flagstones, which now look much better, even if I do say so myself. Showing off. I do, however, fear that it won't count as I was enjoying it too much. That is an interesting...
That's a philosophical point.
Is it a good deed if you enjoy it?
Yeah, I think you can get enjoyment from a good deed, but if you're selfishly doing it just for your own pleasure and passing it off as a good deed, if you say, I'll do this for good reasons and happen to enjoy it, that's good because everybody wins. And it is great fun, pressure washing flagstones.
I helped my friend Andrew Mackay build his patio, and I'm not a very DIY kind of manual labour kind of person, and I got enormous satisfaction.
There you go.
And wherever I go to his patio, I stand on the couple of slabs that I laid
specifically,
and I go, I think they should put a statue up of me on those with look upon my works, ye mighty and despair.
But get somebody else to put it up.
I can't really
be bothered now. BBC. That's Winter Sleep and Weighty Ghost on Six Music. Weighty Ghost, is that
weighty
a euphemism?
Ghost.
Weighty Ghost, that's what it says. Yeah, it's a heavy ghost, which is interesting. It's an interesting philosophical point. Again, everything is today, I find. Andrew Collins, Richard Herring filling in for John Richardson on Six Music. Later on today, after Stuart McConey's Freak Zone, you can hear 8 p.m. Dave Pearce and Guy Garvey, the genial Guy Garvey, at 10 o'clock. He's a very nice man. Have you met him?
No.
He's a nice man.
I wonder what shot glass John Richardson will bring back from Kilkenny, where he is.
Oh, is that where he is today?
Do you think his mum really hates the shot glasses and hasn't been able to turn? I don't really like shot glasses. I don't know why you keep bringing them for me from everywhere.
That would probably form a strand in a kind of indie Sundance Film Festival comedy about a dysfunctional family where a really nice guy brings home his mum something from every town he visits, and at the end she says, I don't really like them. And it would be a sad moment, but then a moment of truth. I hope that that's not true, but that would, I could imagine that scene now. I'm trying to write a screenplay, and that's the one I think I'll write.
Cool.
About the boy who brings... He's not a boy.
So, I, in a way, I've facilitated you there in the same way we were talking about. I've come up with an idea that wasn't that good, and you've taken it and run with it.
Run with it and fallen over. Yeah. There's a nice Twitter or a tweet from Paul Bailey who says, this is great, he's enjoying the show, which is good. A lot of people on Twitter are expressing nice and positive things about the show, which is very nice for us to hear because, obviously, we're very insecure. He says it's like listening to it, it's like careering towards a... towards a cliff in a car and wondering when the driver's going to brake. We'll take that on board as a positive comment.
I think our podcast, people who listen to our podcast, this is an unusual, and as for me, it is a slightly unusual experience because we are allowed to say what we like in our podcast. So I think there's a feeling that they believe we're going, that I'm going to just go
they're wrong.
Crazy and start swearing like a Susan Boyle in a...
Susan Boyle. She only swore three
in
times.
In a hotel bar.
Yeah, in Wembley. I think it's just being in Wembley. It's just some pressure in there. We're going to play a song now for anyone who flirted with goth in the 80s, because in fact when I sat in for George Lamb on Goth Day, we played a lot of good goth music. We had a lot of requests for Rose of Avalanche, who were from Leeds, I think, weren't they? Formed in 1985, we've established. Weren't around for very long. John Peel loved them. And they put out this song, 12-inch version of this, is just terrific. L.A. Rain, we found it. Was it on vinyl or was it actually on a CD?
Both.
Oh, it's on both. Yeah. It's available on vinyl and CD.
What about cassette tape?
No.
Is it available? I've only got a cassette player. That's the only type of music I've got. I'm a bit limited now in what I can buy.
I love that episode of The Inbetweeners where he gets a car given to him and it's a little yellow car and it's got a tape deck in it. They don't even make tapes anymore. So for those of you who like tapes, this is L.A. Rain by the Rose of Avalanche. It's quite long. We can go and make ourselves comfortable. That's the full 12-inch mix of L.A. Rain by the Rose of Avalanche. Came out in 1985. I've now discovered that the names of the classic lineup of Rose of Avalanche from Leeds was Phil Morris, Paul James Berry and Alan Davis. Not the Alan Davis, I imagine. They've got... somebody's put up a website to them, which is roseofavalanche.com. So even though they weren't around for very long, enough people love them still to want to create a website to them. We'll play that for Beth Noir, who was happy to hear it, and Victor Marland, who also enjoyed it, hasn't heard them for years, says Victor.
Long record, wouldn't it? I had time to turn the bike round in that one.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We went off round the block, had a little jog, and came back, and we're still playing. So Victor Marland says, where can I hear the Goth radio show? I'm afraid that's now off the iPlayer, because it's more than 7 days ago. Lots of other nice things as well. You can recreate the show in your own home. Just play some
Goth.
That's
what you do, isn't it, when you're on your own?
I do. I recreate radio shows. I just play Goth records and talk in between.
So it's nice.
Just put on a Mr. Bean style voice and talk between some Goth records, and it'll be just like me doing a Goth show. So that's my advice to you, Victor. Of course, you could also download and listen to all the other six music shows that happened in the last 7 days, which are still available.
Chris Morell, Epiglotti Biscotti.
Epiglotti, who suggested another name for my biscotti,
I'm going to find it.
I'll find it on your little computer.
Jim Moon, Chokey Bix.
Chokey Bix is good. Yeah. I think I'm having that. Chokey Bix.
Chokey Bix. Andrew Collins, Chokey Bix.
Chokey Bix, and people could mishear it and think it was Chokey Bix.
It'd be great to deliberately market something that was just appalling to eat. I mean, I suppose they used to have those sour, the hot and sour kind of jawbreaker sweets that were really nasty and kids would enjoy eating them because they tasted so horrible.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that's done that. You could be the adult version of that.
I want to market very much to sophisticated ABC ones.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of posh restaurants that do serve food that is actually disgusting and that posh people only go, this is nice.
They don't even
caviar.
On purpose.
They're just pretending. It's kind of their pretentious people and restaurants taking charging £100 to eat something that is disgusting. But you could be the honest version of that. People going, oh my God, Andrew Collins, it's horrible.
That's good. You see,
but make it cheap and horrible.
You've got to look for alternative revenue streams. In
cheap and horrible. That could be the name.
Cheap and horrible. And will be the name of my restaurant then. We'll just serve, and I made a really horrible almond-based cream dessert as well. Really horrible. I had to throw that away.
Just decide if it's going to be almond or almond. Don't change halfway through. Decision.
Is it almond
or
almond?
You can't change halfway through. Just decide. Just decide which one.
There
it's
must be
a
correct answer. Is it almond or almond?
Both.
Please check. No,
you
it can't be both.
Say almond, and I say almond.
Let's call the whole thing off. This is Six Music. That was Fight Like Apes and Something Global. Richard Herring, Andrew Collins, sitting in for John Richardson. We're not totally up on the new music scene, and I haven't heard the name of that band before, had you, Richard?
Fight Like Apes, yeah, I'm their biggest fan.
Oh, are you? Well, yeah. I look forward to hearing more of their work. I love that name.
I like the other record they did.
Do you? That was much better, actually. Well, this one's quite similar. Yeah, that's very good. And we are asking for good deeds and bad deeds, because Gino John Richardson likes to generate lots of good vibes in the studio, which I think is a nice thing to do on a Sunday. It's now Sunday afternoon. But we also thought we would allow you to send in your bad deeds, just to get them off your chest. And a bad deed doesn't necessarily mean, you know, knocking a policeman's helmet off. It could be something as simple as the words spoken by Matt Morrison.
Can I just say, though, that was the worst time check I've ever heard on the radio?
Why?
It's Sunday afternoon. It's 20 past 12. Let's just...
All right.
It's Sunday. It's now Sunday afternoon.
It's true.
Well, we might as well tell them the time. Go on, carry on.
All right. Well, we have now. We've done both. We've told you which part of the day it is, which day it is, which is helpful. Some people will be going, oh, where am I?
The deed.
All right.
The deed.
Matt Morriso, Morris Rowe, I don't know, it's in his email address, he's called Matt anyway, he says he was stopped by a female chugger, which of course is a name for one of those people who work for a charity and wear the tabard and stop you in the street. Now, some people don't like that approach.
I don't like them.
Yeah. Okay, well, he was stopped by a female chugger and said, this is so appalling, I almost want a mental drum roll. He said, I don't even stop for the pretty ones. Now, he's told this as a confession. He knows it was a terrible, awful thing to say, and he's pangs of guilt doesn't quite cover it. So
isn't he the most honest man in the world? Isn't that? Don't other men walk past ones that they don't fancy and sometimes stop? I never stop for any of them because I hate them all, and I understand they're students or whatever trying to make money.
You don't hate them, you hate the idea of them.
I think the whole idea is awful, and then they try to make you feel guilty. But, you know, I'm sure you often see an attractive young boy or girl, and they seem to have more success than others. So isn't he the most...
honest person here.
Honest and a satirist of society.
He is a satirist.
But also very rude to say that the young lady's face.
He's like Jonathan Swift. Anyway, he feels bad about it. So
I'm not going to absolve him. It's too sexist.
I think it's too horrible as well. I'm afraid, Matt, you can't be absolved of that sin. I'm glad that you shared it with us. It was very honest and brave of you to do that. But unfortunately, no, you're banished from
this
programme.
Even if you stand before God, he will go, sorry, there is no absolution for
that's
that.
That's too horrible thing to say.
So
you can't listen to this programme anymore.
No.
So, you know, it's just past 20 past 12 on Sunday afternoon. Stop listening now, Matt.
Let's do something that would punish him, rather than...
What can we do to punish him?
Well, I mean, not listening to this show is actually probably a reward, isn't it? He can go out into the sunshine.
No, he's a big fan.
Let's do something.
He sent it from his BlackBerry, so and other ones are available.
Well, let's make it a real punishment. He can only listen to the things you say.
Okay, that's good.
When I'm speaking, he has to turn the radio down.
I was once stopped by a charity mugger who was collecting money or collecting signatures and bank details for a scientific research charity. And I said, just to have a little bit of repartee, I said, but does your charity test on animals? It's a kind of, you know, ethical question. And they said, they thought about it for a while. First of all, I'd like to know if they know about their charity, because sometimes you think they're just wearing the tabard. And this person sort of thought about it. I said, do they test on animals? And he went, only gnats. He genuinely said that, and I said, okay, where do I sign?
Not enough people say looky looky.
Oh, it's good.
That's what I think.
They say it a lot.
That was the Future Heads.
It was.
That was the first day. Mm. That's what it's called, the first day.
Which
that is the name of its record.
In reception, you'll be on your first day. So, who are we? Go on, do it.
Well, we said that loads. I'm Richard Herring, Rihi, and that's Andrew Collins and Co.
Yes.
And Co, if you like. Sounds more like a petroleum.
Oh, do you think?
And Co, yeah. And Co sounds like a supermarket. And Co. And I won't say, I've done so well at not swearing. I nearly thought of a swear word to go with that.
I'm really glad you didn't. I mean, good Lord.
To get to the last 35 minutes.
Do you realise it's Sunday afternoon, Richard? Yeah. It's a time check. It's Sunday afternoon.
If you come outside Broadcasting House at 1 o'clock, I'll be standing outside swearing like a tramp. To get it, getting it all
and looking like one as well.
And I look quite like one.
That's what Dave Lee Travis used to always say at the end of his shows.
Eating
if you want to hear me swear, just come out into the public domain and I'll do it for you. You have to, obviously, you can charge money.
Bring your brioches.
And £10.
Give me a brioche. That's all I want. Like all homeless people, all I want is a custard-filled brioche. That's what I'm there for, you know. Most of them are waiting out there. Where are my brioches?
Yeah.
I became a homeless person so that I could get brioches, and only one man has so far achieved his dream.
Not just a brioche, but a custard brioche, you know. None of your just plain brioche. Anyway. It's a good offer, but hopefully nobody takes us up on it. They've got a helicopter waiting for us when the show's over. That's Autocrats on Six Music. With Always More. More from me and the professional comedian Richard Herring after the news. On digital radio. It's still Sunday afternoon on Six Music. You're listening to Andrew Collins. And
at 12:38... it is Richard Herring.
Richard Herring. And that was Empire of the
Sun. If you need to know
the
time, it's 12:38.
You need to ask a policeman,
and
don't
7
you?
Seconds.
Yeah, that's good. You could keep doing that, and that would be the most surreal and rubbish radio programme ever put out on this network. We are the people that was Empire of the Sun.
George Lamb's on this network.
Luke Steele, who is in Empire of the Sun and used to be in the Sleepy Jackson. I met him on Six Music. I interviewed him a couple of years ago. And he has got the hardest handshake I've literally ever felt. I like a hard handshake. I like a firm handshake. But this was like bone crushingly hard. Quite frightening, actually. I still
that's
still
just
hurts.
What he does to you.
Do you think? He's just trying to hurt me.
Gentle with everyone else.
Yeah.
It's Andrew Collins. Get him. He's got squeeze his hand really hard. That'll show him.
So he can't be a DJ anymore because he can't press the buttons. Well, anyway, that's Luke Steele. We're about to play a song from 1996 by Loonies. I Got Five on It, which is...
Loonies?
Loonies, L-U-N-I-Z or Z. Yeah. And I Got Five on It is an interesting phrase. What does it mean, I Got Five on It? Does it mean you've got your hand on something?
Could do.
Luke Steele has just crushed your hand, so you've got your hand on some ice.
Five fingers
I got
on it.
Five fingers
five
on some
£5
ice.
On the bet.
Or I've got five fish fingers on my plate. It could mean that,
it could
it?
Mean to pay half for a blunt or a dime bag along with another person to buy a $10 bag of marijuana. Could be that.
Could be that, yeah. That's an interesting... Let's hold that thought and we'll listen to the song. Anybody else watch The Wire? You'll know what he's talking about. That's Loonies on Six Music. I Got Five on It. Maybe he's got a radio that doesn't work and he's only got five live on it, which would be okay because you didn't hear a lot about sport and news, but obviously if you wanted something else, you couldn't get it. I think, having listened to the lyrics very carefully, you're wrong. It can't be about drug dealing because that is illegal. Yeah. So how could a pop record be about that? But I do think it is about having five fish fingers on your plate, which is too many. But
that's too many.
It's quite exciting
fingers.
To have more than you need.
You'd
on
think
a plate.
If they were, you know, they'd probably have $5, those guys, if they've got record contracts, so they wouldn't have to. Put $5 each on something.
They could. Yeah, that's true. They would just be able to pay for the whole thing.
They could have a big bag of marijuana if they wanted it, and obviously they wouldn't want it.
Well, they couldn't because it's illegal. So why on earth would they sing about that? I'm slightly confused by the modern world. We had a good deed, by the way, emailed in earlier on from Lottie, who's in London, who said it was the day of my biology GCSE this week, and instead of looking over my own notes on homeostasis, I helped a group of other revisers with a biology. And you might say this also helped me, but no, they were doing a different syllabus. So Lottie actually forewent doing her own homeostasis notes and helped other people who went in, and she's hoping that the good D will help her with her exam just in terms of karma, and I hope it does too.
That happened on the in-betweeners
as
well.
It did, yeah.
Though he had an ulterior motive, perhaps she had the similar ulterior motive.
But the in-betweeners is the best programme ever made.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. I'd like to see you on it, Richard, as a teacher.
I'd like to see me on it as a pupil. in year 46.
It is a comedy, so yeah, you could just about pass as a pupil, I think.
I've auditioned for it, the imagery. I've auditioned for many of the greatest comedy shows and failed to get on.
I didn't want to bring that up, Richard, but now you have. I think it's fair to share your failures with everybody listening.
I could have played a dodgy teacher or,
but you
or
didn't.
A garage mechanic.
You didn't get the part of either of those
two. Didn't get either of those parts. I was quite glad not to get the dodgy teacher one. I was quite insulted. To be honest, you know the part we'd like you to play is this teacher who seems to take an unnatural interest in one of the young men.
But you didn't get it.
I didn't get it because I was unable. You can't act that.
You might have been second. You might be the Susan Boyle of that audition. Think on that. You weren't the diversity. You didn't get the role, but you were Susan Boyle. You actually, your dream was crushed in that moment, but the dream that you're actually going to get is going to be worth £8 million. Think on that, Richard Herring. I'm Guy Garvey. Love that Status Quo ending there, reminding you, Richard, that you should not have long hair anymore. Even Status Quo haven't got long hair anymore, and you still have. You're grunge, man.
It takes a long time to go to the hairdressers, especially if you've got long hair.
Yeah.
Takes a long time. I haven't got the time.
You look a bit like Princess Leia, actually, with your headphones on, because all your hair's all bunched up on the sides. You look much more attractive than normal.
Are you coming on to me?
Yes. On the radio. That was Carter, USM, and Sheriff Fat Man, recorded for Mark Goodyear on Radio 1. 2nd of March, 1991, we had a tweet from Jim Bob, one half of Carter, USM, who said, "What's this rubbish?" in a self-effacing way, and I think that's admirable, don't you?
be good if he had, just has forgotten he did it and is genuinely asking that.
Jim was on as my special guest last Sunday when I was filling in for John, and so we promised him that we'd look up a nice old Carter session, and there it was.
Does he get
band.
Money for that?
Well, I should hope so, yeah.
So in a way, that seems to me a bit underhand. It's like you're having to go at the politicians.
I'm not having to go at the politicians.
That seems to
when
be...
When did I ever go at the politicians?
...twisting the BBC system to give a man... Probably you'll get 45p from that or something.
Yeah, but
that is our licence fee paying.
I could get him to give it back to us.
Yeah.
And we could spend it on...
That's even worse. You're bribing him to get his music on the radio, and then you're cashing in with the 45p you're going to spend on ingredients for horrible biscotti.
I could give the 45p to a homeless person, which means that the BBC will be helping the homeless. How about that?
Okay, that's the only way around it. Otherwise, we'll have to take this show off the air immediately.
It's a complicated system, and it could take some while for the money to actually come through the system, but when it happens, that will be a magic moment, won't it?
Well,
so there you go. We've got less than 10 minutes left, Richard. So have you got anything interesting to say at any point? Because, you know, we've been on now for, you know,
I'm going to save it up for the last minute.
Okay. Well, it's about, people are going, when's he going to say something interesting? It's bound to happen. We found out that he did an audition for The Inbetweeners and didn't get it, and that's about as interesting as Richard Herring got
to. I did an audition for Peep Show and didn't get it. Well,
there you go. That's twice as interesting, okay? We'll play Bat for Lashes then. Coming up, Richard Herring being interesting.
Guess which character I was to be on the Peep Show out of all the series. That's what they have to do during this record.
That's a little quiz question. That's Bat for Lashes on Six Music with Pearl's Dream. Richard Herring, answer to the quiz question, please. Which part did you go for and not get on Peep Show?
Neil Hopkins is right. It was Big Sue's.
No, it wasn't.
It was the man there. Rainbow dancing. It's Super Hands, the doped-up so-called music DJ. No, it is not that. Victor Marland.
So who was it?
It was the man in the rainbow dancing episode who gets in the way of one of the guys and dances in a vest. And
if
bloke.
If you know Peep Show, you'll know. And next time you watch it.
Wasn't a big part.
No, but even so.
But I could still have done with the exposure.
I'm glad that you're here instead. Thank you for listening to us.
I wouldn't have had to not do this.
You might have. It might have made you famous.
I just lived off that for the rest of my life.
It could have been that part.
Signings.
It could have been the
show signings.
Yeah, it could have happened, Richard. Anyway, it's been nice to be here for 3 hours. We've enjoyed it.
I haven't enjoyed it.
You've been smiling all the way through, Richard. I don't know why. Genial John Richardson is back next week from his travels. I'm sure he can deny or absolutely confess that he's been buying shot glasses for his mum everywhere he goes.
Send him some shot glasses week.
Yeah.
Post them in.
Yeah,
you've got an interesting shot glass.
From various places
around
the world.
Let's fill this room with shot glasses.
Okay. We're going to hand over to the Music Week now to Julie and Matt. Thank you for having me and for having Richard Herring.
Don't say me like it's your show.
I'm
then a me as an afterthought.
I'm making
that
the record
thing about
play.
The professional comedian as well was
stop
sarcastic.
Talking. Stop talking.